Peace of Christ be with you. Happy Friday, everyone. The last Friday of October. This is the last one in the history of 2010. We'll never get another Friday in October of this year again. And we begin to step into November, that dry, crackly month like the leaves. A couple notices real quick. It's Halloween this weekend, if anyone says no. So just some pastoral encouragement. Use your head. Be safe. Don't eat open candy that's given to you when you trick-or-treat. also want to just call your attention to opportunity to sign up for immersion trips. Those are, get on grow.hope.edu, find out some more information about those as well. If anyone's interested in a cup of conversation today, I am buying at the Cup and Chaucer after chapel. Those are all my announcements. Any of you got announcements? Okay. One of the great things about what I get to do is I get to hang out with you and I get to know you. And today I get to introduce one of the people who I've gotten to know really well over the last couple years. And it's just been a delight. A young woman who is wise and who is searching and who embodies the soul of trying to integrate what she's experiencing, what she's thinking about with her faith, which is what we're all trying to do. And today it is my great pleasure to introduce a senior from Holland, the North Side, the oldest of four siblings. She is an international studies and religion major. Would you please welcome the beloved, the enchanted, Amanda Berry. You feel that love? A lot of love in the room. Let me pray. Lord, we thank you that your word is our guide and that your word calls us to wrestle with the deep realities of what it means to be human and what it means to love you and to love our neighbor with all that we have. Bless Amanda now as she speaks to us. And as she speaks, may we hear your words. May we be inspired by your word once again through your servant Amanda. We pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And everyone at Hope said, Amen.
Good morning. So I spent last semester studying abroad in Amman, Jordan. Now, there's been a couple times where I've said that to people only to be met with confused stares or even a couple, Jordan. Now, that's in Africa, right? So for those of you who don't know, Jordan is a country in the Middle East bordered by Israel, Palestine, Syria, Iraq, and Saudi Arabia. Between a rack and a hard place. So we joked about it. The 4 months I lived in the Arab world were the hardest of my life. I was stretched spiritually. I constantly experienced political, cultural, social, and religious structures and situations that challenged the way I saw the world. But my experience in Jordan was also good. And it was good because I grew so much through these challenges. And this is not so much unlike the way Scripture tends to confront us. And our passage for today comes from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you will be revealed with him in glory. When I think about this passage, I'm reminded of much of my experience in Jordan. Perhaps because the scripture asks a difficult question, what does it mean to be raised with Christ? And I think that as Christians, at least it is for me, this is something that's hard for us to wrap our minds around, this being raised with Christ. It is something that happens outside of us and above us, but something that by the grace of God, we are caught up and hidden in. It's a transformation we can't really explain. While I was in Jordan, I became friends with a girl from Colorado. Her name was Katie. Katie and I came from very different backgrounds and college experiences, and we spent much of this semester peering curiously into each other's worlds, poking around and exploring. Up until this point, I had spent my entire life in the culture of West Michigan, and Katie was almost a different species to me, and I was to her. I think she found me in my odd sort of life at this place called Hope College. Yes, Katie, I promise it's a real place. Just as intriguing as I found hers. Our friendship began a bit tentatively, both of us aware that we were on shaky, unfamiliar ground in each other's worlds. But it didn't take long for us to become more bold. And over the semester, she asked me some pointed questions that challenged the way I thought. And I don't know, but I kind of like to think that I did the same for her. Katie is beautiful, intelligent, absolutely outrageous most of the time, and a committed atheist. She aches for those who suffer injustices, and over the semester I watched her heart break over the Arab world with a deep pain that often left her very angry. 2 weeks ago, I had the chance to Skype with Katie. Katie had spent the last week of the semester living with a Palestinian family in the West Bank, and we hadn't yet had the opportunity to talk about it. She was in Hebron, the largest city in the West Bank, an ancient city significant to both Jews and Muslims. Because of this, it's highly contended in a place where violence and hatred are normal parts of life. Hebron is a place where people divided by ethnicity, religion, economic status, and power structures exist in separate spheres yet share the same space, connecting only through exchanges of hatred, violence, and injustice. I was made painfully aware of this reality once again as Katie began to speak. Memories and stories from the short week she had spent there flowed in an uninterrupted stream for the next 30 minutes. Even 5 months later, the emotion and the pain were still so raw. For a few minutes, the type of suffering and injustice that had seemed unimaginable, especially to me in my insulated world, became a painful and unavoidable reality once again, over our two computers, thousands of miles from the Middle East. I never really said much during that conversation, while Katie repeated those memories that had haunted her so much over the past few months. But midway through, both of us were crying. And by the time Katie reached the end, all she could do was repeat, "It's so messed up. It's so messed up. It's so messed up." Except she was using a word that was stronger and a lot more coarse. It's so messed up. That's how the conversation ended. I confess, I sat there silently crying while Katie repeated those words. In that moment, I didn't know what to say or do. So what is it about this story that begs the question, what does it mean to be raised with Christ? I don't know. But perhaps one of the ways we are raised with Christ is that we receive new minds. We've been talking a lot in chapel this semester about being faithful with our minds, and we've explored the Philippians 2 passage, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus," which I think is echoed in this Colossians passage. Colossians tells us to seek the things that are above and to set our minds on things that are above. Doing this does not mean that setting our minds on things that are above is a turning away from the painful, ugly realities of life, but instead our minds are hidden in the incarnate Christ who enters into the deepest, darkest suffering of this world. And if we learn anything from the incarnation of Christ, it is that the mind of Jesus knows intimately what it means to say, "It's so messed up." Christ calls us to enter into this suffering. And part of entering in is seeing the realities of this world. To turn away from things that are on earth is to say that we do not see the Hebrons of this earth through the murky lens of the way the world sees things. In Christ, through the Holy Spirit, we have been given a new lens. And this lens calls us to see a reconciliation that makes all things new. Places like Hebron exist everywhere, large and small, individual and communal, private and public, structural and internal. It is in moments when we are thrust into these places that we are exposed to the raw reality of sin And we encounter this brokenness in a way that's impossible to sugarcoat or explain away. When we set our minds on things that are above, we are not diminishing or decreasing the pain of these places. It is not a numbing of the pain so we can sit sucking our thumbs, waiting to be rescued. Rather, as we set our minds above, hidden with Christ in God, we are able to enter into the pain, not escape or forget it. Therefore, turning our minds to where Christ is reigning is to increase the importance and the care of the Hebrons, big and small of this world. Katie and I both cried that day over Skype. We cried together and with each other over a shared pain. But at the same time, they weren't the same tears. So when we are left crying and broken after the painful realities of the Hebrons, and we all at some point will be left crying and broken, we may be tempted to simply say, "It's so messed up." Sharing in the mind of Christ, we must remember and cling to the fact that we are not left there. It is through Christ, who has died and has risen, and with whom we are raised, that we are given a new mind to enter into the mess. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you that in your Son we have been given new minds with which to enter into the brokenness of this world. And we would ask that you would continue to remind us of this as we head into this weekend. In your holy name we pray. Amen.